compete in the AFC North, you have to be willing to bloody your nose a little bit. This team is going to be built on toughness.
We're going to go out and get better every day.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, begins now.
Happy Thursday, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford here in the Mike Pettine Coach Show studios with, of course, Mike Pettine, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Coach, let's start with the big news of the week, obviously, naming Johnny Manziel the starter. How did you come to that decision?
Put a good amount of thought into it and leaned heavily on Flip and on Kevin, and just, you know, involved some big picture thinking. I know as coaches, you get very wrapped up into the week to week and always using that assessment of who gives us the best opportunity to win. And when we factored in how Johnny's been playing, how he played against Pittsburgh, the progress that he's made, the investment that we put in him, given that he was a first round pick, we just felt it was time. When you factor in our team circumstances, to go ahead and let him cut it loose and see where he is, and we'll have a real good sense at the end of the year, about his future. So it was a fairly easy decision, but at the same time, knowing that we have a pretty good player that we're now putting on the bench, guy that's played some good football for us, that's kind of been an anchor for us, not just on the field but off. And Josh has done an outstanding job, I think, of how he handled it. He made it easy, and I think knowing him moving forward, and we feel confident we got one of the best backups in the league for the stretch.
Coach, for all the rumor mongers out there, I just want to give you the opportunity to say that, or say not, that this was your decision to name Johnny Manziel.
It absolutely was. It absolutely was. I had a meeting scheduled with Mr. Haslam, and that's how I led off the meeting. I just wanted you to know right off the bat that we're going to go ahead and name Johnny the starter for the rest of the year.
Let's talk about the reaction of both Johnny and Josh to the news.
I think it was both about what you would expect. Johnny was excited and also smiled about it, but then same very quickly took a serious tone and knew that it was, it falls back to what we've talked about, to whom much is given, much is expected. And he's a guy that has a shot, and it's his team, and there's a lot of things that he needs to live up to. The off the field stuff's well documented, and he and I discussed that in detail. I won't go into too much of it, but comfortable where he is with that and what he talked about. And Josh is a competitive guy, but I think he's also a big picture thinker. And I know he also coached for a little bit when he was out of football, so I think he does understand kind of where we are and what our circumstances are. And is he 100% yet? Not quite. So I think this will give him some time, too, to heal up. And like I said, we'll have the best number two in the league. And when we get to the end of the year and we look to move forward, that just because we've started Johnny at the end of the year, that doesn't mean anything for next year. That's a whole separate set of circumstances. We'll hit the reset button on everything. So he was very comfortable with it.
From where I sit, I haven't been able to say enough good things about Josh McCown, the football player Josh McCown, the teammate on and off the field. He seems to be just the consummate pro. And his reaction, the things he said about this decision, indicate that as well. How important has he been to the development of Johnny?
I think he's one of the major, major factors in it. I think that the change in the room, just having an Austin Davis in the room who was relentless in his preparation and asked the right questions, very interactive with the staff. Connor Shaw in the room, and then you have the influence of a veteran guy in Josh that has shown, hey, listen, this is how you take a game plan. This is how you put your touch on it and you interact. This is what I like. This is what I don't like. This is what I want to tweak. And then add to it, hey, I saw this. Another team ran this. Is there any way we could just that instead of just like, okay, here's the plan. I'll run it, just to see how a veteran handles it and gets it to the point where he's most comfortable with it. I think that was big. And then just how he carries himself, just from the meeting room to the practice field, how it extends into games, the interaction on the sidelines has been tremendous. So quarterback play from A to Z, to have our young quarterbacks be able to learn that from Josh has been tremendous. And now you throw on top of it a Kevin O'Connell, who's played the position, who is mature beyond his years as a coach, and John DeFilippo, who's well documented the young quarterbacks that he's worked with.
You talked about Johnny Manziel earning it in your press conferences about this announcement. What progress have you seen on and off the field that led you to the conclusion that he has earned the right to be the Cleveland Browns starting quarterback?
Because he's done the little things, that he's put the time in, that it, that he knows what to do. That when you get a game plan and Flip can start to call a formation and it's a unique one and he can just go ahead and finish it for him because he already knows what's coming and he can have command of the huddle. You've all seen him in games where he's gone to the line of scrimmage, he's slid a protection. Sure. You know, he's signaled a route combination to a receiver to change it versus what coverage he sees. All those graduate level details of high level quarterback play. He's starting, you know, he's not there yet. He hasn't arrived, but he is light years ahead of where he was a year ago. And we know that he's had some hiccups off the field, and it's a process for him, and that he's gone through a lot personally. I won't get into too much detail of it. It's all out there, but very proud of him, kind of how he's progressed both off the field and on.
Was it a relief having, on the day that you named him the starter of the NFL, also say, yes, there will be no discipline for what happened and kind of putting that whole incident behind
it was. And we factored everything in. I mean, we certainly weren't going to move forward with our decision with that still looming. So there, it's no coincidence that those two announcements occurred on the same day.
No coincidence indeed. As you sit here at the bye week, it's a time for reflection. And I know you've talked about that for yourself, the players, the staff, et cetera. But as you reflect on this season, and I know maybe with the record it might be hard, but what are the things that you're the most proud of so far through the first 10 games?
There are some things to be proud of despite the record, that we have some young guys that have stepped up and that are playing some good football. You know, overall, if you just look at where we've overachieved, I think we've done that in the pass game. I think John DeFilippo has brought a outstanding mentality here of how to attack coverages, and he's got those guys to buy in, and we do a good job of spreading the field and getting guys into, you know, finding ways to get open and ways to kind of uncover coverage tells and use that information when the play, and we've executed at a high level. You know, we've done some really good things on special teams. We've been so inconsistent in other areas, and we tell the players we could make a cut up of our film where we've played against everybody in this league that we've gone against at a high level. Our biggest issue has been consistency and finish, and not having those lapses during the games. You can't play well for 50 plays and then have two or three bad ones. That's going to cost you. And those are among the lessons that we've learned up until this point.
And then on the other side of it, what's the thing that maybe has been a disappointment in the sense that it surprised you? Because you look at your history on the defensive side of the ball. This is not typical of a Mike Pettine defense. What do you think can be done over the final six games to get it back to your standard of excellence?
Oh, that we got to keep battling, keep looking for answers. That we've tried a lot of different things scheme wise, and we're, as a staff, we're not going to get into. You know, you never, and when things don't go well, sometimes, you know, everybody likes to build silos around themselves and, hey, the coaches, hey, it's the players' fault, the players, hey, what are we doing? And I talked to the team today about that, as a matter of fact, that we have to understand we're all in this together and that we got to get a lot of things done, but we have to be able to take what we do on the practice field and carry that over to games. And I think when you have inexperienced guys that get out there and kind of get caught up in the moment, that they revert back on their old techniques, and a lot of times that ends up getting them beat. And that to me, you have to continue to work at that. So you finally get to the point where your body is drilled when you do kind of fall back and you're not even thinking that you're using the proper technique. And that's a big part of it for us. And we're finding out about our players in that sense.
All right, Coach, thank you very much. We'll be back with more with the head coach, including the famous hashtag AskPet when the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford, returns right here on News Channel 5.
The Mike Pettine Interview, brought to you by Elk and Al. The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. We caught up with Gary Barnage, who has 669 yards and 7 touchdowns. Talked to him about his career year and what's been the secret to his success.
I want to be so nasty on these guys, they scream every snap. But I want to up it more than we've ever upped it. That's all I want.
In a game, if you have a 15 to 18 play drive, it definitely takes your wind out. Because whether you're running routes, you're sprinting for 4 seconds, 5 seconds, you're coming back, then you got to block a 300, 280 pound guy and try and move him for 2.5, 3 seconds. And you do that 18 plays out, it takes a toll on you, it winds you, it gets your wind. So I think that's a huge aspect. You've got to be in shape for that. If you can't gather your win quick, it's tough to keep staying out there.
From the 20, McCown locks one up for Barnage, juggling catch.
Every year has been different. I started off as a receiving tight end and moved the blocking back and forth, which I'll take as a compliment because then people say, oh, he can block, oh, he can catch, which why it just to me it's both. He can do both instead of just one or the other. And I think that's what our whole tight end room strives for. We don't want to give any keys to the defense as in, oh, this guy's only going to run the ball when he's in. He's only going to throw the ball when he's in. And we try to strive where no matter who's in there, you don't know if it's going to be a run or a pass. And I think it just makes it harder on the defenses.
That's a catch. Definitely a catch.
Yeah. Well, Barnett says it's a catch, therefore it has to be.
It's my eighth year, so 8 years is a long time in the league. And I think guys look up to me in the room, and I try to help them. I think we all try to help each other because it's not like one person is a leader. I think all of our guys can be leaders because they're going to see things we're not going to see. I'm going to see things they're not going to see. I think it's just helping each other out. That's a huge aspect, and we preach that in our room with our coach too. He says, hey, if I miss something, point it out to me. So we're all coaching each other. I think that helps our whole room.
Oh, they're coming. And he's throwing Barnage and caught. Discussion ensue. Touchdown!
I've seen the catch two times where it landed on my leg. I squeezed my legs and brought it in. It was a little bit of a luck and awareness. I felt the ball in my legs. It was luck that it landed there. And I just squeezed my legs and I brought it up because I saw a defender run over. I knew I had to get it to my hands because he saw the same thing. I don't think he saw it hit the ground. So he's like, oh, got to get this ball out. So I was trying to get it to my hands as quick as possible so that would be a catch. And it all worked out. The only thing that I do cherish about it is we got the win. Because it wouldn't have mattered. If we didn't win, I wouldn't care one time about the catch or anything. But the fact that we actually won the game, too, that helps a lot. But I don't really look back on stuff like that because you can't. You can't rely on the past. You got to keep doing it to keep going forward.
Let's go!
I would trade all my stats for wins. I could not catch one ball. If we get the win, I don't care. I'd be happy with it because that's what it's all about. It's all about winning. It's not about personal stats in my eyes. So I don't really relish all that stuff. I'm more relish on the guys and how they do versus how I do. And I'm sure they're the same way.
Coach, you talked about overachieving in the passing game, and a big part of that has been big play Gary Barnage having a career year already. I mean, not even close to a career year. He's blown his numbers away so much. What has he meant to this team and this offense?
He's been tremendous. I don't think it comes as a huge surprise to the guys that know him and just see how hard he works. That just doesn't happen by chance, what he's been able to do. That comes from hours and hours of preparation, taking coaching, understanding what we do concept-wise, on the jugs machine, working on routes after practice. You know, he was one of those guys during training camp, stayed out extra a lot. And, you know, for an older guy, a lot of times you don't see that they don't want to take those – you know, that added burden on the body. But he's a guy that's really worked his way to this point, and he's a good example. Sometimes guys get typecast as, hey, he's a career backup or journeyman or he's the third or he's whatever it is. And when he's given the opportunity for whatever reason, whether it's by injury or guys leaving and not necessarily filling that spot, that he's been able to step up and perform at a high level.
Big play gear. How about that? All right, it's time now for a little hashtag Ask Pet. And, Coach, we're going to go with here's number one. What is the biggest thing you would like to get accomplished during the bye week?
Well, I challenge all of our guys to be a very, very introspective, you know, self-evaluate. Where are they? Myself included, you know, coaches, players. And I think the biggest thing coming out of it is to have a plan for us to get better.
All right, our second question is it true that you often slept in a closet in your office as a defensive coordinator of the New York Jets?
That's technically not true, but there is some truth to it. I slept in a closet behind Rex Ryan's office when I was a coordinator at the Jets. There was no closet in my office.
Okay.
So just to clarify.
So you were in a closet, though.
And it wasn't, when you say closet, you think of, you know,
a closet.
You open it up and it's small and there's a, you know, bowling ball falling off the top shelf. No, it was a storage room that had a it was big enough for a queen size inflatable mattress that was actually very, very comfortable. So there were times where I felt like this bed's just as comfortable as my bed at home. Why should I go ahead and drive? So it was a lot of late nights, and sometimes you get to that point where you just don't feel like wasting that time driving home and driving back. So you bunker in and fall asleep.
All right. And finally, besides Rex Ryan, what other current NFL head coach would you most like to have a beer with?
That's a good question. There's a good number that I already have crossed that off the list. So,
okay.
I'd have to say John Fox.
Really?
Yeah. He and I spent some time together in Indy at the famous Steak and Shake at the Combine late night. We didn't drink beer together. We had been separate and somehow ended up we had mutual friends that were there, and he and I had from what I can recall, had a pretty fun conversation. So I'd love to be able to go out and spend some time with Foxy. He's quite a character.
Coach, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy a little bit of R&R during the bye week and certainly getting back to work, getting ready for the Baltimore Ravens next Monday night.
Great. Thank you.
All right. When we come back, Alex Mack will join us for our player interview when we return on the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. Time now for our player interview. We're joined by the Browns Pro Bowl center, Alex Mack. Alex, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Very happy to have you here, obviously. An interesting news week for the Cleveland Browns. Johnny Manziel being named the starting quarterback for the rest of the season. Your reaction?
No, good for Johnny. You know, he's done well. He's shown he's progressed. And he's done a good job of filling in that starter role.
What have you seen from him that is different from, say, a year ago that gives you the confidence to have him as your starting quarterback?
I was actually not in there much last year when he was playing, but he's done a good job in the huddle. I mean, just being able to he had to fill in early in Jets' game. You know, he was dumped in there real fast and, you know, hit the ground running without much practice prep. And then I think he's done really well when he's had a full week of practice to really step up and put things in practice into games.
Let's talk about you for a second. Last year, you talked about you weren't there with Johnny Manziel because, of course, you broke your leg against the Pittsburgh Steelers. How are you feeling, and do you think you're back to 100% physically after suffering that injury?
It feels good. You know, took the whole offseason to kind of get better, and then we, you know, took baby steps through camp and a lot of OTAs. And come the first game, it was kind of a test, and then ever since then, it just really felt real good.
In an ideal world, would you finish your career as a Cleveland Brown?
Whatever happens after the season is going to happen after the season. I'm not worried about that yet. I'm worried about, you know, this bye week, and now come in, we have Baltimore to worry about.
Mike Pettine saying on Monday that, you know, he felt that the offensive line hasn't quite been where he had hoped it would be this year. As somebody playing on the offensive line, what do you think has been the difference between what you guys did the first five games a year ago and what's going on so far this year?
A lot of things have changed. We have a new offensive line coach. Tough opponents, you know.
Sure.
We have a lot of tough opponents to go against, and, you know, things haven't quite ended quite how we want them to.
What do you think needs to happen to kind of get the run game going for you guys over the final 6 weeks?
Just be able to, you know, call and run it. Just consistency of have some early success in the run and have the comfort to just keep calling them throughout the game.
Do you guys get a little more excited for a Monday night football game at home against the Ravens team you've already beaten? Is that nice to come off the bye and come back into primetime?
Absolutely. You know, it works out really well that it's the Monday. We can kind of cushion that with how we want to prep for it with the bye week coming off that. And then just, you know, divisional play is always a really big deal. And have it be a primetime game really gets you excited for it.
Alex, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy kind of the R&R, not thinking about football, and looking forward to see you guys getting ready to go against the Baltimore Ravens on Monday.
Perfect. Appreciate it.
All right. Pro Bowl center Alex Mack with us here. When we return, I'll give my final thoughts as the Browns are on their bye week on Mike Pettine's Coach Show, driven by Liberty Ford.
The Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford, continues.
Welcome back to the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, driven by Liberty Ford. Now, this Sunday, the Browns are off, but we still have you covered at News Channel 5 with all sorts of Browns programming. First at 11 a.m., we're going inside the Cleveland Browns with Dustin Fox and Sarah Carnes. And then at 11:30, we will re-air the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, as Browns Countdown will take a couple of weeks off, returning before the Monday night game against the Ravens. And as always, Channel 5 is your official broadcast partner of the Cleveland Browns, on air and online, with special content you won't be able to get anywhere else. Also, the Cleveland Browns, United Healthcare, and University Hospitals are working together to improve the health and safety of young athletes through the Helmets program. Nominate your favorite Northeast Ohio high school for a chance to win new helmets. You can enter each week during the Browns season on ClevelandBrowns.com to increase the chances your school will win new helmets for the 2016 season. Obviously, at 2-8, the Browns are not where they want to be, but they have a big opportunity over the final six games of the season with the naming of Johnny Manziel as the team's starting quarterback. Can Johnny Manziel show enough over these six games to prove that he is the answer, the franchise quarterback that you drafted him to be when you selected him 22nd overall in the 2014 NFL Draft? And let me just say this. This is in no way, shape, or form an indictment on the play of Josh McCown. In all my time here with the Cleveland Browns, I have not been more impressed with anybody as a player, as a man, on and off the field. Toughness, heart, resiliency, teamwork, the ultimate professional in every single respect of the word. I have not been more impressed with anybody than I have been with Josh McCown, and his mentorship has been a big part of Johnny Manziel's progression this season. And now, Johnny, the keys are yours. Let's have a lot of fun and a lot of success over these final six games. I hope everybody enjoys the bye week and has a happy and healthy Thanksgiving. We'll be back with you next week for the Mike Pettine Coaches Show Thanksgiving night right here on News Channel 5.
This was the Mike Pettine Coaches Show, presented by Liberty Ford.